I want you to again notice 1 Timothy 4. In verse 1 in our text, you'll notice Paul uses an interesting word in connection with demons. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The word doctrine, as most of you know, is a word that simply means teaching. The Greek word is didaskalia. You may be familiar with the word didactic teaching and so forth. And it's the same word used by our Lord, for example, when he spoke of Pharisees who, quote, taught for doctrines the commandments of men. Same word used in this text was used then. Paul uses the word in Romans where it's translated teaching. Romans 12:7 says, "Let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on his didaskalia, on his teaching." It's also translated in Romans 15:4 as the word learning. "These things were written for our learning," same Greek word. And of course, several times in the New Testament, it is translated as it is in this text as doctrine, including, you notice, down in verse 6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine." The word doctrine's in verse 13, the word doctrine, same one, verse 16, and so it goes. So the meaning is clear. Verse 1 is talking about doctrine. It is talking about teaching and learning. The only difference is this text refers to demonic doctrine. It calls it doctrine of demons or devils. Which brings us to a little bit of spiritual warfare message tonight, and specifically as it refers to doctrine. And that brings us to, of course, when you talk about doctrine and teaching and learning and knowledge, you're talking about the human mind. What the Bible calls the heart of man, science simply refers to as the brain. The human brain typically weighs about 3 pounds and contains 12 billion cells. Each of those cells is connected to 10,000 other brain cells. It adds up to 120 trillion brain connections. You think about the mind for a moment. This brain is the part of you that controls. Basically, it supervises everything you do from your involuntary heartbeat to your hearing of my voice, seeing this pulpit, your speech, your eating, your resting, your decisions, everything. Every other organ in your body is controlled by your brain. In fact, the three major aspects of your brain essentially determine your entire life. What are they, Pastor? You know what they are. They are the intellect, the emotion that also comes from here, and the will. Now, inasmuch as psychologists and scientists have all labeled these aspects of the mind, it's very obvious that they really don't have a grasp to understanding it. They don't know exactly what they're dealing with. Human emotions. I read Michael Waltrip's autobiography some time ago, and he talked about the experience he had of winning the Daytona for the first time. And then as he was praying, crossing the finish line, he said he prayed, he was full of joy, and no sooner had he gotten that joy rising up in his soul that he found out that his boss, Dale Earnhardt, right behind him, had just been killed. And he said that when he heard that news, his body went paralyzed. His emotions actually controlled his physical body. And that's the part of your mind as well. And so, we also talk about the will. The will is even more complicated. It's harder to describe, really. Your will is what faces those hard choices each and every day, oftentimes in conflict, by the way, with your very emotions. Paul talks about that in Romans 7 and 8. "That which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now, of course, Paul goes on to say that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed that balance of power in his mind. And I'm glad about that. Because, you know, for a Christian, for a child of God whose mind has been spiritually enlightened, who has been awakened, so to speak, spiritually, born again, the most important part of this mind, the most important part of your child's mind, your teenagers in this room, in your own mind, is by far the intellect. Now, before you argue with me or disagree with me for a moment, especially if you're the emotional type, I don't agree with you. I want to remind you that the doctrines and the teachings and the learnings that you have cultivated are all a part of your intellect. It is what the Bible calls your heart. And, not surprising at all, then, to read and learn that demons have doctrines. It says it in verse 1, and we're going to see other places in the Bible as well. By that, the Bible means that demons are teachers. They are preachers. They are professors. They are authors and philosophers who know that the battle, the real battle, is in the mind of the lost and God's people. We've all heard the expression that idle minds are a devil's playground. Let me tell you that a busy mind is the devil's playground. If it's busy in the wrong places, reading and listening to doctrines of devils. You know, most people, when they think of demons, they try to go to extremes. They either ignore or deny them altogether. I don't believe in that, it's no big deal, and so on. Or they obsess over them. They take Frank Peretti's old fiction books that were fascinating, but they turn them into a personal autobiography. There's demons everywhere. There's demons down there in the Wilson Mansion. I was in the Jupiter Lighthouse. There's demons in the lighthouse, and I can't go to church on October. Somebody told me this once. I can't come to church tonight. It's Halloween night, and, you know, demons with an attitude on Halloween night. So they didn't go to church because they had this extreme view. One of the fastest growing, most popular movements in America, sadly, are the so-called deliverance movements. These are Christian organizations whose entire ministry is focused on, quote, delivering people from demonic possession. And they have seminars and cleansing rituals. They have something they call warrior weekends. It's like a spiritual paintball club. And they go out, and especially in their own hometown, they do battle. And not surprisingly, most of these groups are either charismatic, progressive emergent churches, or Catholic, or a combination of all of them. Now, don't get me wrong, beloved. The Bible teaches about demons. I'm very aware of the existence of devils. The Bible warns us against the whole idea of hosting and of dabbling in demonic powers. And I would think that nobody in this room, none of our young people or teenagers or you, would ever think of dabbling with the Ouija boards. I mean, the very fact that people have to preach against those things is unbelievable to me. The problem is most believers tend to give demons far too much credit in the physical realm. People believe and teach that just being around the darkness. But we live in a world of darkness. They think that just it's dangerous, it's efficacious in dragging your soul and just being around certain kinds of places or things. And while it may not be wise, the nearness of demons is not the danger. I used to teach junior high Bible. You want to get preparation for ministry, teach junior high Bible in a Christian school. I was in my 20s, and I would give these kids, when they were new to class, this very quick and easy riddle. And I would say, what man is it that was born in Judea, it was an easy one, born in Judea 2,000 years ago, ministered with 12 other men for 3.5 years, did many mighty works until he died a horrible death, a man whose name begins with J and ends with an S and have 5 letters? Who was the man? And they would all write and say, Jesus. And I would say, no. The man is Judas. Judas was born in Judea 2,000 years ago. He traveled with 12 other men, including the Son of God. He ministered. He did many. She said amen. He ministered and did. He said amen. Did many mighty works. He helped to feed multitudes, and he preached the kingdom until he died a horrible death. You see, in other words, Judas was around the truth more than most anybody. 3.5 years. It was not his proximity to some demonic, satanic church that caused him to be a child of Satan. Far less credit has been given to what the Bible emphasizes, which is the intellectual, mental part, the doctrine. I want to remind you that good angels outnumber demons, fallen angels 2-1. 1/3 of the angels fell, and besides, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so you don't have to fear them. You don't have to fear them so much physically. And in fact, contrary to what charismatics and Hollywood implies, demons have no attributes of God. They can't read your mind. They can't be everywhere at once. They cannot possess a Christian. Not one single instance in the Bible where a believer, a child of God, is possessed of demons. You say, Pastor, what can they do? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that is something that the Bible does clarify. And that's where parents and grandparents and young people are missing the boat. While it is true that demons, if allowed, can do some kind of damage, even physically, to other people, it should be remembered that even the physical manifestation of demon activity in the Bible itself begins in the mind. Just recently, we mentioned the demoniac of Gadara, right? And what's the picture you have in your mind? The picture is scary. He cuts himself with rocks. He's unclothed. He foams at the mouth. He's got matted hair. He's out of control. He hangs out in cemeteries. It's a very scary picture. But remember, all of that stuff he did to himself. In other words, because his mind was assaulted, then he assaulted himself. He cut himself. He walked to the cemeteries by his own self. Demons didn't come and throw him involuntarily against the wall or carrying him into the wilderness. His mind was the battlefield. Remember what happens when he was healed. It says he was found clothed and what? In his right mind. You want to see real demonic activity? Look at verse 1, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There are entire churches that teach that you can't get married and you're not supposed to eat meat. Doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits, yes. Demons probably look a little bit more like a false teacher with a tie and a briefcase than they do some zombie or lizard man that we have in our minds. Verse 2 says they speak lies, quote, in hypocrisy. In other words, you can't tell. They're demons. They assault your mind with lies. Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, so I'm putting the brethren and the sister in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse, here it is, profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now you think about that for a minute. You know what demons do best? They get people away from the nourishing words of Scripture, of faith and good doctrine, and focus them instead on old wives' tales. I think demons love conspiracy theories. You see, we want demons to be something that Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan are all about, or the Exorcist, or vampires. But the truth is, what demons are really about is that silly, foolish doctrine that pulls someone away from a Bible-believing church and away from the Word of God. Chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Boy, that's boring. Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. What about that spiritual warfare, Pastor? What about doing battle with the soldiers of Satan? Well, folks, that's exactly, precisely what we're doing tonight. Teaching truth against lies. Let me read to you what it says in 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, little s, these are evil spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, think about it. It says, believe not every spirit. Believe them not. Pastor, do you believe in evil spirits? Of course I believe in demons. But evil spirits aren't ghosts and spirits of loved ones who have passed on. They are fallen angels. And what does God say? He says, don't believe them. Test what you hear, where you hear it, because there are doctrines of demons and devils being taught all the time. They have a set of beliefs. Test their doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, 1 again. Or let me just read 1 John 4. Here it is. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You know what their confesseth means? It means what you believe. Look, here's what I'm saying. Yes, there are stories of people in the world who have been physically controlled by demons, but again, that's only because they believed. It is because they thought and they pondered and they embraced demonic doctrines and ideas. In Ephesians chapter 6, one of the great texts on spiritual warfare, the great text on spiritual warfare, listen to what it says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's the physical part again. But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, what are you going to do? You're going up against the prince of the power of the air and all the demons and all the devils in the world, and they're in various places in the world, in high places. What are you going to do? I'm going to plead the blood. Really? You're just going to repeat some vain repetition? Well, here's what the Bible says to do. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with, what's the next word? Truth. Truth. Well, what about having a cross in my pocket? And an angel on my shoulder, and some holy water. And pleading the blood, and pleading the blood. What about commanding the Spirit to come out? What about all that green pea soup and scary stuff? You know, Matthew 8, it says that when the even was come, the disciples brought many unto Jesus who were possessed with the devils, and Jesus cast out the spirits, quote, with his word. Say, Pastor, the word, later on it says that the 70 returned after a missionary trip. And they said, all breathless, Lord, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Woo! Warrior weekend we had. They were so excited. And remember what Jesus said? You remember? He said, in this rejoice not. Cold water. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Wow, if you can't rejoice about that, that the devils are subject to you, the demons, that's what Jesus said. Don't rejoice if indeed the spirits are subject unto you and the words. In other words, that's no big deal, the Lord was saying. If you really want to rejoice, Jesus said, remember what he said? Rejoice in a truth. Specifically, that your names are written in heaven. That one truth, our Lord said, is of more value to you than the ability to command demons. And of course, that makes perfect sense. Jesus said the truth makes you free. And what truth, what doctrine is any more liberating than the truth that your name is in heaven and the reason why it's there? I'll say it again. The battleground of demonic activity is in your mind. The assault is upon what you think. And most especially upon what you believe and what your children believe and what teenagers believe. That's why if you really want to know where demons are working best tonight, you don't have to go to some Haitian voodoo ritual, although they'll be there. You could probably go to the seminary at Louisville, frankly, where a professor stands up and teaches eloquently and convincingly that the Bible's full of mistakes. That's a doctrine of demons. Pastor, you're calling a fine, upstanding professor with LITTD and MID and MDiv and a D. Yeah, doctrines of devils. Go to the philosophy department at Berkeley. I'll be honest with you, you could probably turn on MSNBC any time of the day and you'll get a doctrine of a devil. Most mainstream media, for that matter. Go to the World Council of Churches and America's educational institutions. You know why? Because the battle Satan knows is in the mind, and it concerns doctrine. This is why they fight so hard. The forces of darkness fight so hard. For example, just one example, evolution must remain the foundation of our educational institutions beginning in K-3. It must, because it's a doctrine of demons. Demons do not want you or I or your children to embrace the truth. And of course, the best way to hide the truth is to come up with a bunch of false demonic doctrines, speaking lies in hypocrisy. You know, you're all familiar with James 3:15, lie not against the truth. It goes on to say this: this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Same word here. Now, wait a minute. James 3:15 basically tells us that there is a wisdom, there is a teaching, a doctrine, a belief that instead of originating from heaven above, originates from below and is described as devilish, which means demonic. It means satanic. In the same book in chapter 2, it says, as you all know, thou believest there is one God. Now, that's a doctrine. It's called monotheism. It actually happens to be a true doctrine. Thou believest that there is one God. In this case, the verse, rest of the verse says, the devils believe. They know that doctrine's true as well. And tremble. Now, folks, if it seems strange to you that devils and demons have a statement of faith, their own belief system or theology, then consider tonight and understand they also have their own curriculum. And they are hard at work trying to indoctrinate the minds, the thinking. This idea that we have young people in our church, young people in this church, who actually believe that in some instances abortion is okay, somebody has dropped the ball. Somebody has allowed them to believe not the truth of God, but lies. The idea that we have young people growing up who are saying, you know what, it's not that bad to be gay. Somebody has taught them doctrines, lies, and not the truth of God. Or somebody has not been diligent in protecting what they hear and what they learn. You know, people suffer and people die mostly because they believed the wrong thing. You know, Satan loves death. He's a murderer from the beginning, right? I still remember when President Clinton said that his views on life began, when life begins, came from his pastor in Little Rock. He said he went to his pastor in Little Rock because there was some legislation there in Arkansas, local legislation about partial birth abortion, and he went to his pastor, First Baptist Church of Little Rock, and he wanted to know, when does life begin? And his pastor taught him that life did not begin until the baby drew its first breath, based upon God breathing the breath of life. Consequently, he justified vetoing a partial birth abortion ban. Now, how powerful was that one doctrine, that false doctrine that that pastor told him? A lot of people died in Waco because of false doctrine. A lot of people died on 9/11 because of false doctrine. A lot of people died in Nazi Germany because of doctrines of demons, false doctrines. Millions of people are going to die in their sins and go to hell in the months ahead. Not because of some gothic rock and roller who wears goofy contacts and dresses like he's super demon, but rather because some priest or preacher taught those millions of people the wrong thing about salvation and gave them a false hope. Someone says, oh, we had someone who had demons delivered once. And I've seen and experienced some of these things as well. You know, I don't talk about them from the pulpit. I haven't told you about them ever. Maybe privately I have, in Charlotte and other places. Because that's not where the Bible focuses it. And I have no doubt in my mind that everybody in this room has a story here and there, as you've heard one, screaming and everything. Let me tell you something. Every time someone in the jail or the nursing home gets saved, demons are defeated. Every time a little child in a junior church accepts Christ, demons are defeated. Every time we get to lead someone to the Lord out and about somewhere, demons are cast out. Every time you come to church faithfully, like you did tonight or a Wednesday night, anytime you reject a false teaching for a true one, every time you accept the word of God over the word of man, demons are defeated. So what should you do? You should guard your mind. Be discerning about who you listen to on the radio or television. Be discerning about what you read. I'm amazed at some of the books, and sometimes I bite my tongue, other times I don't. Pastor, this awesome book, The Shack, did you read it? And I look at it and I'm thinking, did you read it? Be discerning. Give attendance to reading and to doctrine. Be very careful about what you hear and thus what you believe. You know, one thing demons can't do, folks, they can't make you listen to their doctrines. In fact, let me remind you of the language of the text. It says that people would, quote, give heed. They would give heed to doctrines of demons seducing spirits. Don't give heed to them. On the contrary, give heed. And it says what? Be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Just as surely as there's bad doctrine, there is good doctrine. All the good doctrine that I know of, all of it is right there. There's no other Book of Thomas. There's no other. All of the good doctrine is in the pages of God's Word. And if it's not in this book, really, don't give it much thought. Listen to 2 Corinthians, or turn there, chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let me read it to you. Paul says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." You see, folks, minds, just like Eve, are corrupted by Satan. And evil spirits and demons, when they wander, get someone to wander away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ, reading and exhortation and doctrine, this book, your mind, your heart, your intellect, your emotion, and your will. This is the battleground for your soul. The only assurance that I had when I was raising, we were raising, Louise and our boys, the only assurance we had that they would not, when they were 17, 18, or 20, turn away from the faith is to make sure that what they believed was this and not that. Truth and not lies. There are demons. They are real. There are devils. They are real. They are busy. They are doing exactly what Satan and Lucifer wants them to do, and exactly what he did to Eve. Yea, hath God said. God, that's not true about homosexuality. That's not true about everybody needs to be saved. That's not true about, you name it. Yea, hath God said. You want to do spiritual warfare tonight? You want to protect your home against the devil and Satan? Don't walk around your house and sprinkle water or plead the blood or just mechanically repeat some verse. Don't go through the house and just remove certain video games. You want to do battle against Satan? Find out what they're hearing and reading and learning, and find out what people are teaching them and what you teach them. The wholesome words of faith. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight that we have, in this world of shifting sand and where the wind blows, people follow it. Lord, we thank you tonight. We have your word that is eternal and perfect, that is wholesome, Lord, that builds us up, that edifies us, all of us here. May we be faithful to your word always, Lord, and help us to recognize and discern when a teaching and an idea, a philosophy, comes from the devil himself, and may we reject it immediately, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.